I'm opening?
We have an eye, sort of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. This is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Anatomy of a Movie. Today, we are here with writer, actor, producer, Bo Martin Williams of Americons. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chloe.
And today, we are talking about the indie crime drama Americons. Now, you wrote this, you starred in it, you produced it, and is this semi-autobiographical?
There's a lot of elements to the film that I actually went through. I got some advice in my writing career early on, or I guess not a career, but I guess it'd be a hobby, but a close family friend of mine told me to write what I know. So the first script that I wrote and played around with was called Professional Amateurs, about my experience as a college football player at the University of Colorado. And then about 18 months into Los Angeles, I was recruited by a New York-based mortgage bank from the door. I was doing the door at 40 Deuce in Hollywood to be a loan consultant at their office in Beverly Hills. I was the first hire in Los Angeles for them, and I decided about 12 months into that career that the football script was an independent theme with a $50 million budget, and I got some advice that, hey, maybe you might want to write something on an independent budget if it's going to have an independent theme. And I went to Matt Funk, my partner on the film, and I said, hey, how do you feel about creating a boiler room but around the mortgage industry? We had no idea at the time that the market was going to end up collapsing. But
interesting.
In 2006, we started kind of throwing ideas around on napkins, and slowly the story was evolving as I was going through the business.
Wow, so you already thought about being a writer before getting into the real estate business.
I did, yeah. The first script I wrote was based around this idea that I had for a bank robbery, and I gave it to some close family friends who were writers, and the guy comes back to me. He was actually a friend of mine who was the creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or a family friend, and he goes, Bo, what do you know about robbing banks? And I said, what do you know about Mutant Ninja Turtles? So,
like, see, touche.
Yeah, but that was the best advice that anybody has ever given me, as far as my writing career or my writing hobby goes. And went from that one to he said you just played football at the University of Colorado. Write about that. I said, okay. So I wrote about that and shopped that around, and people were interested, but it was a pretty expensive project. And was working in the mortgage industry, and I love Boiler Room, and I love Wall Street, and I said, hey, I'm going to take a crack at this. And I guess to a certain extent, while the rest of the worldwide economy got a little unlucky, we got a little bit lucky with the fact that this story kind of unfolded in front of our eyes while we had already had a foundation for this movie.
So interesting. So why did you feel compelled to tell this story? Was it mostly because you already were throwing it around, and then you guys just got, you know, the real estate market crashed and you already had this idea going, and so it was sort of this cinematic Hollywood story that was naturally happening for you guys? Or because it feels personal when you watch the film, it feels really like this is your story almost. So is that why you were compelled to tell it, or you guys just thought, oh my gosh, this is a great idea and we can make this happen?
Well, like I said, I mean, I was taught to write what I know, and I did implement a lot of my personal experience into the film. I was living in Los Angeles. My college girlfriend and I broke up when I was no longer the big man on campus, kind of like Jason's character. She lost a little bit of interest in me, and she wanted to go do her own thing in New York, and I was crushed a little bit. And I was working the door at the nightclub and pursuing my writing aspirations, and I was doing a little bit of commercial acting here and there. Was not really stoked about the acting thing as much as I wanted to make films, but you need a script to make a film, so the first step is actually write a script. And I've just always seen whatever it is that I've taken on, I've tried to see it through and given it all that I've got. And I do think that said, there is a huge message in this film, and with the real estate collapse coming, and or with the real estate collapse happening, and to share that message with the world, to make sure that doesn't happen again, and to realize that, hey, you know, if we educate ourselves and we try to put an entertaining film out there that also does have a bit of an education to it. And you had that with the Margin Calls and the Too Big to Fails and the Inside Jobs, which I loved, but for a collegiate audience and with all everything that you have in today's social media age, they're going to tune out and they're going to be on their phone real quick and they're maybe not going to get the full message that's there. We tried to make our film very fast-paced with a lot of action, with a bunch of information packed into it so that we can keep the audience's attention, especially a younger audience, so that we can help them understand that, hey, you know what, we can help. We have a lot of power to reshape demand and decide we're going to either buy these products that are presented to us or we're not going to buy them. And I think that a lot of people bought into more than they could chew.
Totally. So the film itself, like, it does take place in L.A., and it does have this very L.A. Hollywood party lifestyle thing. It almost feels a little bit like an L.A. version of Wolf of Wall Street on an indie scale. And so when you guys saw Wolf of Wall Street and you already were working on your film, obviously you'd been working on the script for a while, but I assume you were working on the film. Did you see that where you're like, oh, we like those party scenes and we're going to take that? Because I feel like that's a big part of this film for your character, is he sort of is living in this Wolf of Wall Street world, but he's compassionate and he's still thinking about his friends, even though he's getting caught up in this party atmosphere. Like, what I want to know, like, as a film goer and a filmmaker, like, what did you think when you saw Wolf of Wall Street and you're like, oh, this is interesting?
When I saw Wolf of Wall Street, I mean, we were done shooting at that point.
So, oh, wow.
We've been in post-production for a very long time with the film and reshooting and reshaping the story and going back out and reshooting and editing and reshooting and editing and reshooting along the way. But we had already shot the script for the most part when Wolf of Wall Street came out. And I remember seeing Wolf of Wall Street and thinking, you know what, this is... if people like this, this is good for us. I enjoyed a lot of Wolf of Wall Street. I thought they probably could have shaved about 30 minutes off of it. I think, which there was some fun stuff there. They let Jonah Hill and DiCaprio just kind of play off each other and run with a lot of scenes, which were great individual scenes, but I thought they slowed the story down. I'm more of a, I think that if Wolf of, and it was a satire, which I don't think that a lot of people... I guess people understand that, but I think it could have done more justice to the project if it was done more like a drama, like a movie like Blow with Johnny Depp, mm-hmm. which is it really takes you into that world and it feels real.
It would have felt really dirty if they did it like a drama, more dirtier than it already felt.
those are the kind of movies that I prefer, and I would have liked to see it.
That's sort of done how this like one that. Plays out, though. Americans is a crime drama.
It is,
but it has a lighter tone to it. It's not, I guess, because the audience gets taken away a little bit in, like, the partying and the fun. You know, we go along with your character. And you're like, oh, this isn't so bad until we see Matt Funk's character, who is sort of the bad guy in this. Yeah. But that's revealed a little later. You know, we don't really – we follow the protagonist. We follow you on your journey in finding out, oh, this guy's kind of a bad guy. Oh, we shouldn't have trusted him. So that's what was fun about this, and that's why it didn't feel like such a heavy crime drama, because we were like scooped up by the story and by the fun.
Well, if you look at the crimes that are actually being committed, nobody gets killed. It doesn't appear to be a crime, and a lot of it wasn't criminal. I mean, obviously I don't want to give away too much of the film here, but there's some things that were done where you're breaking, you know, the rule with regulators, and where the FBI could come in and potentially question some people, which there were people that I worked with when I was at Washington Mutual in Beverly Hills and Wilshire and Rexford who were questioned by the FBI.
Oh, wow.
But I don't think that it was, there's some crime there, but it's not what you would typically think of as a crime drama. There was people in the film, just like there were people in the mortgage industry, that were taking advantage of loose underwriting guidelines. I mean, the stated income loan, the way the stated income loan works is you said, how much money are you making? Oh, I'm making $500,000 a year. Okay, boom, you write it in. You don't even have to prove that. And that's what a stated income loan was. And I have been so busy with the film for the last 2 years that I haven't really been involved in the mortgage industry for a long time, actually. And I've talked to people here and there, but I understand that they're trying to bring that deregulation back.
Wow.
Which,
and you're like, no, see my movie, it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, so,
you're like,
so
that's the, maybe not a great idea.
The timing could be good for us to have the film coming out when it's coming out. I've talked to other friends in the financial industry who say that, you know, a second collapse is looming, which, you know, is yet to be seen. But if that's the case, maybe that's why the higher ups that are calling the shots and pulling the strings are thinking about deregulating as a solution to a potential downfall that we may have, because
maybe you guys need to be sending out screeners to those guys to be like, don't, this wasn't so long ago, don't forget.
Hopefully your audience will help us with our grassroots marketing campaign, and it'll spread via word of mouth, and we can get people out into the theaters so they can see the film.
Yeah. So why did you want to be in it? You know, you guys were working on the project, and then what made you want to be like, okay, I'm going to be the star of this?
Well, first of all, it saved us a lot of money. I didn't cost the film any money.
Okay.
being the producer on it.
A true indie.
with myself and Matt being the financiers of the project, we were free. So if you were to go out and to try and get, you know, a Channing Tatum to play my character and a Ryan Gosling to play his character, you go from shooting on a shoestring budget to now all of a sudden you're looking at a $20 million movie?
Yeah, at least, right?
At least. And with guys like that, you're not going to be able to have skeleton crews and shoot with just a Steadicam operator and a director and a sound guy. And, I mean, Matt and I, for a lot of these scenes, we were the PAs.
Oh, funny. So when you and Matt got together and you were working, was he already a working actor and going on and doing all these things, and you guys were just friends? You were working in the mortgage industry.
We worked together at 40 Deuce in Hollywood.
Oh.
I was a door guy. He was a bartender, and that's really where our friendship started. And we would hang out on off nights, being that we both worked Friday and Saturday nights. We'd go hang out on Monday and Tuesday nights around town. And, you know, I lived in North Hollywood in a studio apartment when we first met, and he lived in a house in North Hollywood, and we'd roll back to his house sometimes. We'd just pop in our favorite films and, you know, watch Friday Night Lights. We'd watch Boiler Room. We'd watch flicks like that, and, you know, we knew that it was something we wanted to do someday.
Oh, cool. And Matt's character is so compelling in this, and he plays such a good sleazebag, and it's and that's such a compliment. And you really follow him, and I think that's really cool that both you guys got to work on it together and then also star in it.
It was fun.
For indie viewers, that's something I know we enjoy, to like see like, oh, those guys made it together, and then they're also acting in it together. That's so cool, and doing such a great job.
Well, thanks for that. I'm glad that you think we did a great job. It was fun getting to do this with him. We going from workshopping scenes, which we did. We workshopped scenes while we were reshaping the script in his condo for months. And to not know if the dream was going to come to fruition while you're workshopping the scenes, to actually have, you know, 2.5 years later, to have it in the can and have something to show people, is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so for you, when you were writing this, and when you guys were, how much of it was you writing it and then Matt coming in and kind of workshopping it? Is that why it's like, you know, he co-wrote it? Because it does feel like, when you look at your story, it does very much feel like your sort of personal story a little bit. But was it like mostly, just talk about the writing process. Was it a lot of workshopping scenes, kind of improvising together and being like, oh, that's great, let's write that down? Or was it more of like, oh, I have this idea and I think this is how this scene will work? And what was that like?
I think it was a combination of both. I would write a draft. I'd give it to Matt. He'd break it down. We'd sit. We'd go through his notes. We'd workshop stuff. And then I'd go back to the writing table. I'd implement our notes until we got a draft that we were both comfortable with. And then once we got a draft that we were both comfortable with, we would shop it around to anybody and everybody that we knew who would give us feedback. And to the people out there that gave us feedback, thank you guys. you get probably about, and I would tell this to any writer out there, don't get upset if someone doesn't read your stuff or give you feedback. People are busy, and probably about 50% of them won't. But for the people that do, those notes are valuable. And if you get the same note more than once, you should listen probably think about changing something. And we would go back to the drawing board with the notes that we got. We'd sit down, we'd collaborate with them, and then I'd go back in and I'd make the changes.
All right, cool.
But like you said, a lot of Jason's personal journey are elements that I experienced. I was hired from a door at a nightclub in Hollywood into the mortgage industry. I was flown to flown to New York on a private jet to meet the big boss.
The first day?
Very shortly after. I mean, not the first day. Obviously, you know, we spiced some things up.
Because that is what happens in the movie. He gets flown the first day.
Yeah. Not the first day. Not the first day, but I mean, it is, at the end of the day, it's Hollywood. We got to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah.
The original script that I wrote was 108 pages long. And this was kind of our break into Act Two moment. Breaking into Act Two on a private jet to New York. What's cooler than that? And we end up shooting 76 pages of the original 108-page script. Time is money, and pages are days, and days are time, and we just didn't have the budget. Michael Mussini, our producer, goes, guys, if we're going to get this done on the amount of money that you have, we need to cut this way down. So we lost 32 pages, which is like killing puppies.
Wow. Oh.
And there's a lot of scenes in there that I watched the film like, oh, it would have been so good if that scene was in the movie.
What I thought was cool about this is you guys show a Hollywood sort of party lifestyle for the super rich. And with the director, is it Theo
Theo Avgerinos.
Avgerinos. What was it like trying to find him and trying to find someone to sort of tell this story? Because it does feel like it's an homage to the Hollywood. Like, you know, it, certain scenes and certain shots feel very, like, this is L.A. This is Hollywood. You know, it's very glamorous. There's a lot of sun. There's the beach scenes. There's the pool party scenes. Was he someone you knew as well? Was he a friend? Or did you guys sort of go look for a director?
Michael Mussini helped put together all the pieces of the team. He plays Blaine in the film. And he and Theo had worked together on 50 Pills. I think Kristen Bell was the star of 50 Pills, and Michael had a role on 50 Pills. I think that was in 2006. And then they worked again on the Cadillac Crew, and Michael said, I got the perfect guy for this project. And we were waiting, and part of one of our biggest issues, you know, internally as a team that we've had on this project is being patient. And we're like, oh, we want to do it now. And so we kind of settled on a director that was a little bit in over his head, who we had to let go after our first day of shooting.
Whoa, wow.
And which cost us a little bit of money, but because we hadn't heard from Theo yet. And then finally Theo gets back to Mike and he says, hey, I read the script. I really like it. I want to meet the guys. And Theo ended up coming out to L.A. and we sat down and we met with him and we had a pretty good vibe with him. And we decided to bring him on, and we walked him through all the locations that we had. We said, here's what we have. We showed him nightclubs that I do events at, as well as restaurants and houses of friends that we had. And he was like, we can make this thing, but we're going to need to – we got to have minimal location moves. And Mike always said that Theo was great about getting a lot out of a little. And so I went back to Block Island with Theo and his family. And we rewrote the script and we tailored it to the locations that we had.
Oh, wow.
And he said, okay, well, what, instead of shooting this scene at Billy's house where you guys go to make the bet, instead of moving to a bar location, what if Billy was just having a party at his house and we shot that scene here? And so we rewrote the scene and we tailored it and reshaped it so that we could get as much done as we could. And
that's such a good tip for filmmakers.
Yeah, and that was all stuff that Theo brought to the table and Mike was right. He said this guy can get a lot out of a little bit, and he did. But even that being said, we shot 12 principal days. At the end of those 12 principal days, we still had about 20 pages of the script to shoot. So our crew was partying. They're like, oh, we're done. And I'm going, actually, we've got a majority of the script left to shoot. And we shot about 12, 13 pickup days over the course of the next year in and out of the editing room, piecing the thing together in San Diego, Boulder, Colorado, Pueblo, Colorado, New York City, and Las Vegas.
Wow. Those are the big ones. Those are pretty big locations.
Yeah, but it was me, Theo. A lot of them were just me, Theo, and Funk that would go. And then we had a Steadicam operator, Thor, who was great. And our director of photography, Chris Lightwine, made most of those as well. But we were talking seven person crews for these pickup days.
Wow.
And so the core team was really, really strong core.
So would you create another film like this where you guys are, you know, very much just a small core team and you're the writer, producer, actor, PA, you know, like would you do another film like that or was it really tough?
It was tough. I mean, I asked for a tremendous amount of favors to be able to get this done on the budget that we got it done for. And the next time around, if this film, if Americans has the success that we think that it can have, it's going to be tough to go back to all those same people and say, hey.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
So I would, yeah. But I already know that the price of everybody is going to go up on the next one, which is if we have the success that we think we can have with this one, that's totally acceptable. And obviously I want to make sure that people are paid for their time, but this was a passion project for us. I mean, Funk and I put our entire life savings into this thing. Not that it was a savings because we knew that we were going to spend the money on the film for something that we were passionate about. But, ideally the film does well. We can find investors for the next one, and then we can make sure
you wouldn't have to do it like but that.
We already have a team. The team is in place. Like we know who the all stars and who the best players on that team were.
And so, what's your favorite scene in the movie?
That's a good question. Because
you're in almost every scene of the movie.
Yeah, no one's asked me that yet. What's my favorite scene?
Or what was the most fun to shoot? Even if watching back.
I think that the most fun to shoot was the dreamlike party at Devin's house after the pool party. Right. That was a lot of
fun. After you punched the guy?
After I punched the guy, yeah. We just kind of, it was very, very, I mean, it was very much an improvisational experience with some moments that were in the script as well that we needed to get, but that scene and the scene, the Las Vegas party scene, when we were watching the dailies for those two scenes, we're going, there's like hours of footage. How are we going to pack all this into a 5-minute scene? And there's a lot of stuff that didn't make it that's great stuff, but I feel like we got great stuff in there. But that was fun. That was just going out and just letting it rip.
Yeah. How did you film those party scenes? Did you guys really throw a huge party and then
capture? It was imagine a huge party, but we have this huge party going on with music playing and everybody's dancing. And while this is all happening, Theo is right behind the camera and he's directing me. He's like, all right, now do this. Now do this. Okay. And now the world is just, it's coming down on you. He's right there behind the camera and there's all this commotion and chaos and we just went for it. We that was one thing that we said is we wanted this film to feel real. And I mean, those are my favorite films, are films where you watch it and you really feel like you got a chance to roll through that world. And I think that we did a good job of that.
Yeah, for sure. And now it's Oscar nominations came out today. So it's a big day. So if you guys could be nominated for like one category, what's the one category you'd want this film to go for?
Can I make up a category?
No, you can't. It's the Oscars.
Oh, man.
Okay, what would be the category that you would make up?
I think that the category that I would make up, I don't know what you'd call it, but finding a way to capture what we captured, to make everyone that's in the industry that has seen the film, though, this looks like it was done for $5 million. And, you know, we shot it on a shoestring budget. So finding a way to maximize your resources. I got a lot of friends that work in the film industry, and they'll come home with trash bags and all this crafty, and like, look how much money's being wasted. I think that just maximizing our budget would be something that...
Like the stretched budget.
Yes,
the
most stretched, finding a way to stretch our budget the way we stretched our budget and get
the best flexibility.
Yeah, most flexibility in a feature film.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you guys for watching. Go check out Americons. It is in select theaters. And will it be streaming online for people to find as well?
It will be. We're going to do the theatrical release first. We're in Universal City. We're at the Rolling Hills in Torrance, AMC. We're at AMC Burbank. We're at AMC Orange in the city of Orange. We are at AMC River East in Chicago, AMC Empire in Times Square. We're at AMC in Elmwood in New Orleans, Louisiana, or in Louisiana, just 20 minutes outside of New Orleans. We are 90% confirmed in Danvers, Massachusetts. We're in Minneapolis, and we're in Westminster between Denver and Boulder, and we're also in San Diego and Austin.
Awesome. So every one of those cities, you guys can check it out. Go online, see what times, theaters, and then soon video on demand as well?
Probably about 2 to 3 months out. That's a distributor question, and I'm not sure what his plans are right now. The goal is to get 500 to 1,000 people in each one of those theaters. So please come out and support
awesome.
Us.
Yeah, if you guys like crime dramas, if you liked Wolf of Wall Street, this is sort of the LA feel of it. And go check it out. It written, starred, produced by Bo Martin Williams. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.